Getting you home. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Where's Petersfield? It's in Hampshire.
We're in Petersfield, Nigel.
I don't follow.
This is district. It's the ward. It's the ward in which we sit in Cambridge.
I'm showing the fact I know nothing about Cambridge.
Yeah, you're just honest. How long have you lived here?
Well, but there is a Petersfield in Hampshire.
Yeah, I know. I've been to that one as well. I just happen to live in it. It's very strange, actually, because our friends at PACT, the Petersfield Action and Community Trust, have referred to Petersfield as being deprived in their fundraising for the Methodist Church and chapel. Sunday Times, things were all well off here. Right. It's not true. As a Petersfield resident, I'm very poor, I can assure you.
Well, you live and learn then. That's good.
Right, we are here to talk wine, and Nigel Beaumont, as you heard, is alongside me. And it's South Africa this time around. And it's interesting because, to me, you know, South African wine seems to be a relatively new innovation, but of course I guess what gets sold on the international market isn't necessarily the same as what's grown.
Well, that's true in part, and I'll just explain a little bit about South African wine, because it has historically been produced for over 350 years in South Africa. It was produced originally to feed and water the sailors from the Dutch East India Company as they went through the Cape. And the French Huguenots settled there about that time and brought in the skills and technology to make the wine.
So it was like a sort of joint venture between the French and the Dutch, would it have been?
Yes, and there's a lot of the French heritage still exists in parts of the Cape. But in actual fact, the South African wine only really hit the market over the last 20 to 25 years. They produced a lot for the local market. But the quality only really improved to compete on the open market about 20-odd years ago.
So that clearly would have been after the fall of apartheid and as South Africa was emerging once again onto the international scene.
Yes, I think there's that to it as well. But I think it was just a case of the market was growing, and if you look at the New World market, it was showing itself with Australia, New Zealand, and South America, and they want to be part of it. And undoubtedly, the South African wines are of a very good quality. But it's still a very small production level. I mean, they have 100,000 hectares of vineyard in South Africa. And to put that into context, it's 40% less than the Bordeaux total area. So it's, in actual fact, pretty tiny. And it's focused in the Cape area. It's the ninth biggest wine producer in the world, however. They produce 450 million litres of wine. So up until a few years ago, South Africa was primarily producing white wines, and the Chenin Blanc grape was the dominant grape there. But over recent years, they have balanced that somewhat to almost a 50-50, and we now get as much red wine out of South Africa as we do white. The climate there in the Cape is Mediterranean, because you get the cool sea breezes off the Atlantic and the Indian Oceans, and of course the warmer summers. So it's an ideal climate, and they have the granite soils, which also are ideal for producing good quality grapevines. So just going on to the wines that you would commonly find coming out of South Africa, the principal grapes are the Chenin Blanc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Colombar, Shiraz, and the Sauvignon Blanc. The wine which is peculiar only to South Africa is Pinotage, and most people have heard of that. It's the cross between the Pinot Noir and the Cinsault grape. And it is a very fruity, rounded red wine, which is very characteristic of a sunny climate. But its production levels are very low, about 6%, and that's partly because it's quite unreliable in terms of quality. I have to say that I like the Pinotage. I think it's got a very, very nice, rounded sort of smooth flavour. It's very reminiscent of a lot of the Australian reds, and it's well worth a try if you can.
I was going to ask really as to what sort of what other countries they'd almost be in competition with, if you like. That the taste, you know, the grapes very familiar, I think, from other territories that you've discussed on previous programmes. But does the taste, is it similar to any other wine making countries because of the soil conditions or indeed the beautiful sunshine?
Well, yes, it's the climate, isn't it, really? And it'll be very similar to what you'll get from Australia in particular, parts of Chile and Argentina as well. So it's that sort of strong, smooth fruitiness, really. Mm. The fruit flavours are come out very predominantly.
Yeah, you have to, I guess it's a reflection of the quantities that you mentioned earlier. You really do have to look hard on the menu sometimes to find it, particularly if you're in, say, a pub which serves a reasonable selection of wines, but a reasonable selection of wines may only be a dozen variants, and the chances then of finding a South African wine there aren't quite so high.
Well, yes, and as you rightly say, it's a function of the production levels and what actually is imported. You'll find, you know, if you're going to good quality restaurants or wine shops, you'll find some very expensive South African wines because they're the ones that tend to be exported. Mm. But I think it's a changing scene. I think you'll find that they'll become more available as they develop and mature the industry there. So I just wanted to say a little bit about the area because it's people that haven't visited South Africa may be surprised at how continental European it appears when you get to the mountains around Cape Town. And there's a town called Franschhoek, which is where the Huguenots settled, and it has a real French sort of feel to it. There's an awful lot of remnants of the French settlers there, and it's a very, very beautiful part of the wine area. In fact, the main wine areas around there are Paarl, Franschhoek, and, of course, Stellenbosch. You'll pick up those names on the labels. Just talking about one or two of the other areas which are slightly more distant from the direct Cape wine-producing area is Walker Bay. Walker Bay is on the coast, which is just to the east of Cape Town. And because it has a slightly different climate, a cooler climate, it produces some very nice Chardonnays from there. So if you look out for a Walker Bay Chardonnay, it'll certainly compare very strongly with some of the Chardonnays that come from New Zealand and Australia. Very high quality. South Africa produces port and sherry as well, as one might expect, but they can't call it port, they call it Cape Port.
Well, the old Cornish pasty people will be after them if they call it the wrong thing.
Exactly. And it's principally made from Pinotage and Shiraz grapes, with the white port being made from the Chenin Blanc and the Colombard grapes. And again, just finally, sparkling wines, they're produced in the Champagne method. Can't obviously be called Champagne. But they do have some very nice sparkling wines coming from the Chenin Blanc and the Sauvignon Blanc grapes. And increasingly, they're producing them from the Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier grapes, which are the traditional grapes used in Champagne in the French, in France. So I will put on the website some suggestions for trying the South African wines. There's a nice Shiraz there, there's the Pinotage, and also one of the sparkling wines to look out for. They're all available, apart from the sparkling wine, which is quite expensive. You'd have to go on the web for that.
I don't think I've ever seen any South African sparkling wine. I've not knowingly drunk it either. Would I like it?
You would.
I would.
Yes, it's excellent. But as I say, you'd have to go on the web to find it.
And get somebody else to pay for it, by the sounds of things.
Well, indeed, yes. Okay.
Nigel, thank you very much. Yes. So we'll pop that on with your suggestions on the website across the weekend, along with the podcast of what you've just heard. And you'll be back with us, I can't dare think, beginning of April.
No, I'm not sure, but 4 weeks.
Four weeks, or thereabouts. Anyway. Okay, thanks very much, Nigel. We'll go to the travel now.